It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe we're already 10 days into the new year, 2020, the new decade. This weekend with me is Dr. Joe Arante, on the 11th and 12th. If you're listening to this on the 11th, we are at 9:05. On Sunday, it is 7:05. If you're listening to this on Saturday, as well as Sunday, actually, there's still time to register for the Snowflake Shuffle, which is the first race in the Northeast Delta Dental Points Chase series of the Millennium Miles series. So even though there was a race on New Year's Day, that actually applied to 2019. So the first race of the 2020 Northeast Delta Dental Points Chase is this Sunday, the 12th, Snowflake Shuttle at the Copper Door in Bedford. So there's usually a great turnout. Parking is not an issue. I want to thank my guest in last weekend's show, Shauna Bedard. One of the things that we all do and that when we hit the new year is talk about, new fitness goals and new wellness goals. And Shauna gave us incremental goals with regard to nutrition. So past shows are put on the Northeast Delta Dental website. There's a radio section. So if you heard Shauna and you want a little nuance and pick something up that and her contact information, you can just go on to the Northeast Delta Dental website, and there's a radio section, and you can see Shauna Bedard's show as well as literally 8 years of radio shows. So as I mentioned, with me this weekend is Dr. Joe Arante. Dr. Arante was CEO of Provisor, which is the software company that Northeast Delta Dental acquired a few years ago, which powers our health or wellness program, which facilitates the ability of dentists and patients to get additional cleanings based on evidence and other services. We'll talk about that later. Joe now is our Vice President of Provider Network and Clinical Strategies. So he's responsible for all of the clinical activities at Northeast Delta Dental and the management of our professional relations department, including the professional review of claims, which is one of our obligations as a dental carrier. But today, Joe, we're going to be talking about sensitive teeth, and we were kind of joking that with the cold weather, this might be appropriate. So in general, some people do suffer from sensitive teeth, and perhaps tell us, why that is.
Well, there's a few things that can cause sensitive teeth, Tom. Tooth decay can cause it, exposed root surfaces on your teeth, as well as just thinning enamel. And so not all of those situations require going to the dentist and getting big restorative things done. Some of it can be handled more easily.
So, as you know, I'm a big skier, and sometimes some of the people I ski with are saying, oh, my God, this cold air, my teeth seem even more sensitive. What's the genesis behind that?
Well, so if you're out in a really cold day and you breathe in some air through your mouth because you're maybe a tiny bit out of shape as you're going down the slope, and it hits one of those teeth that's got some thin enamel on it or some exposed dentin on it, it will kind of wake you up pretty quickly. And so what we suggest to people is that if it's the type of sensitivity that it zaps you, but then once you get your tongue over there and you warm the tooth back up and it goes away, it's more than likely just some exposed dentin or something that could be treated with a sensitive tooth toothpaste. If it's the type of sensitivity that it zaps you and wakes you up and gets your attention, but then it aches for 20 minutes, that's probably not a good sign. That probably is going to need the intervention of a dentist to help you with that.
Great. So you talked about perhaps toothpaste, to help with sensitive teeth. Tell us about your recommendations there.
Yeah, what I usually tell people is if they have a sensitive tooth, and it's especially if it's the type that the minute I warm it back up or the cold air goes off of it, it kind of settles down, is to try a sensitive tooth toothpaste. And some of the ones that are out there, Sensodyne is a brand that's been around forever. Colgate has a sensitive tooth toothpaste as well as Crest does. And I was researching a little bit this past week and noticed that there had been some studies done, and Colgate Sensitive Pro Relief toothpaste seemed to have the most effectiveness of the three that were tested, which was Sensodyne and Crest and Colgate, at least in this one study. I would go with whatever you find in your CVS or your drugstore and use that and try it for a couple of weeks. It won't usually instantly resolve the problem. You need to give it a couple of weeks. But again, as I mentioned, if you have the type of sensitivity that it zings you and then it aches for a half an hour or 20 minutes, that I would probably go see a dentist. I wouldn't wait, you know, weeks before I went to see a dentist about that.
Great. Some great advice. Let's talk about your career. So you're working with us now at Northeast Delta Dental and led the emergence of the Previsor Corporation. Tell us about when you went to dental school, how things maybe have evolved from them. A lot of things are the same, but, you know, obviously some things, you know, are different. And tell us about some of your experiences running dental service operations and an insurance company.
Yeah, well, so I went to dental school a little bit more than 40 years ago. And at that time, most of the focus of the dental education was on restorative technology, so how to fix teeth. We really didn't discuss much about how to prevent the diseases that we work on in dentistry. And it's really essentially two diseases, tooth decay, or it's called caries, or periodontal disease, or gum disease. And both of those two diseases are chronic diseases. And so you don't normally surgically intervene on chronic diseases. You usually have other strategies. But for some reason, dentistry's evolved over the centuries of dentistry to have a surgical intervention for the most part for chronic diseases, which got me interested in Previsor. And why I came to the Concord, New Hampshire area was to really start to develop Previsor, because Previsor is focused on assessing who's at risk for these chronic conditions and what preventive strategies can you deploy to help prevent the disease rather than waiting until you have the situation where you have to restore or repair stuff surgically.
So those of you out there, we brand it locally as Health or Wellness or How. What powers that program is the Previsor software company and software that Dr. Joe referenced. So the subscriber, Delta Dental subscribers, when you've probably recently gone in for a cleaning, the hygienist puts you through a series of questions, and if you come out with a 3, 4, or 5, and that'll be explained to you by the hygienist, you're entitled to the additional cleaning, perhaps a dental fluoride varnish, and some other procedures. So that begs the question, Joe: how did the two cleanings a year, two visits a year, come into sort of de facto, benchmark, when in fact some of us really probably need 3 or 4 cleanings, and probably there are others that could have one cleaning every 2 years and still be okay? But by the way, just for the record, with a Health Rural Wellness, we'll never take away cleanings. We give you the enhanced benefits if the score comes out of 3, 4, or 5 and your dentist wants to use them. But how did de facto the two pro fees, two cleanings a year, come into being?
Well, back in the 50s or 60s, there was a toothpaste commercial that promoted using their toothpaste to prevent dental problems, and as part of their byline, and they said, "And see your dentist twice a year," which is essentially the basis of the 2 times a year cleaning. There's actually very little scientific evidence that the general population benefits from that. As you just mentioned, Tom, some people require more than that and some require less than that from a scientific or evidence-based basis. But it's been kind of the culture in the United States to, people see the two cleanings a year as kind of the gold standard of dental care.
And for my dentist friends and my subscriber friends, many of you I know I see running, well, the reason why we are encouraging the enhanced benefits based on science. But we didn't want a situation where, even though from a science perspective, there it's probably like the bell curve, you know, some people could get one cleaning every 2 years and that would be perfectly fine. But we didn't want any sort of perception that we were actually taking away benefits. So you'll always be entitled to at least your two cleanings a year. And then if your score like mine is a 3, you're entitled to the third and fourth cleanings per year, again, based on the score, but also the judgment of your dentist. And then when you finish the cleaning, they often apply, you know, fluoride varnish. So it's a really cool system. And since you mentioned kind of the evolution of, dental and medical, let's start, before the commercial break, start talking about this medical-dental connection. Through the National Delta Dental Plans Association, just published a study called the Wakely Study, which basically shows some degree of correlation between using your oral health benefit, you going to the dentist, using your dental benefits, and a lessening of chronic medical conditions. So is that vetted in science now, Dr. Joe, or are those just sort of general correlations?
Well, there's a fair amount of research that has been done showing a relationship between particularly gum disease or periodontal disease and chronic conditions like diabetes, coronary artery disease or heart disease, and things like that. They haven't demonstrated scientifically that periodontal disease causes those other conditions, but they certainly make them worse or exacerbate them. And you can prevent a lot of the sequela or the things that happen to you later on as you have diabetes for 10 or 20 years, like kidney failure, eye problems, and things like that, are somewhat preventable if you are managing your diabetes better. And gum disease has an impact on your ability to manage your diabetes.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio and Dr. Joe Arante, who's Vice President of Clinical Strategies and Provider Networks at Northeast Delta Dental, and prior to that was the CEO of our Provisor subsidiary, which is the company that powers the Health, Rural Wellness, or HOW program that probably most of you that are Delta Dental subscribers have. I know that sometimes I get questioned, well, what is the HOW program? But the way I would describe it is basically something we've added to all of our dental plans with a few exceptions, which basically will allow the hygienist to ask you a series of questions in the operatory, and then based on your score, she or he may schedule you for an additional cleaning, so you'll entitle, then Delta Dental will pay for a third or fourth cleaning and some other services such as fluoride varnish. And then if you need nutrition counseling, we'll pay for that. There's also, hopefully there are no smokers out there, but there's also a smoking cessation benefit. So Joe is one of the masterminds behind that. And then we moved him over. We needed to really look at all of our things that we do in professional relations, including, as most of you know, we do a lot with the community. For example, the overall enterprise really was the lead gift to start the University of New England Dental School in Portland, but they have students that graduate and practice in New Hampshire, so it's relevant to Delta Dental Plan of New Hampshire as well. Well, Joe is responsible now for looking at all of these other initiatives, you know, that are out there, and looking at our mission. So we started the show with a little bit on sensitive teeth. So why don't you give us a little wrap up on that, and then I'll segue back into the medical dental connection.
Well, so it's important to know with sensitive teeth that if you are a little bit winded, breathe through your mouth and get some really cold air on a tooth or an area of your mouth and it kind of hurts, if it subsides very quickly within a minute or so once you warm the area up, chances are toothpaste or a sensitive toothpaste will do the trick. If it's the type of sensitivity that lasts for or aches for a half an hour after the initial pang of sensitivity, that's probably not a good sign. You probably should see a dentist quickly for that, because it could be caused by tooth decay or some other periodontal condition. But often they're just a thin enamel on a tooth or an exposed area on a tooth that can be treated with a sensitive toothpaste.
Great summary, Joe. Thank you. So, Dr. Joe, we know we were talking about the medical dental, and for some extent, although this is changing, you know, the head has been separated from the body in a number of areas, you know, mental health, oral health, hearing. And so there's a great book by Mary Otto called Teeth. And we've had Mary come to our company a couple times, one for our long-range planning to meet with our board and once with our employees. You know, and she explains in that book kind of the history of why sort of, you know, dental schools were sort of separated, you know, from medical schools and why that was and what we need to do to sort of connect the head and the body together. So in your opinion, since you've been around a while, do you think dentists and physicians are communicating better? And do you have any sort of historical observations as to why the head was separated from the body?
Well, way back when, all of medicine and dentistry started out in apprenticeships, and they weren't really considered educated professions. And medicine became an educated profession first. A few hundred years ago, there was the beginnings of medical schools. Dental schools started about 150, 170 years ago. Harvard was one of the early ones, and the other one was University of Baltimore in Maryland. And they tried to become part of medical schools, but they weren't in Maryland. The Maryland Medical College wouldn't let them become part of them. But about 120 years ago or so, there was a biochemistry professor named William Geis at Columbia University at the medical school who wrote a document that became kind of the sentinel document around dentistry becoming a learned profession. And he talked about dentistry as part of a university, an educated profession. And he wasn't a dentist or a physician. He was a biochemist, which is kind of interesting. But so now you hear about William Geis all the time. I actually had the privilege of meeting his grandson, who's still alive. And it was very interesting. He still had some recollections of his grandfather being a pretty severe guy and like the photos show from the 1800s, but really forward thinking and forward looking. So today, for about the last 100 years, it's been, or 150 years, 170 years, it's been an educated profession. So you go to dental school. Before that, you used to actually apprentice in a barber shop or somewhere where they did extractions.
Wow, we've come a long way, yeah. Although there are now some full-service dental offices that are getting back into right. some of this stuff. So Mary Otto's book called Teeth gets into that history, and she also describes another interesting, I would say, and sad in some respects, reality of today's United States, which is that while many of us with access to traditional dental insurance, whether it's through your employer or whether it's through getting it individually on healthcare.gov, the public exchange, or deltadentalcoversme.com, the private exchange, there is a, you know, an underserved population out there. So she writes, it really began with the famous DeMonte Driver case in D.C., where the young man died of an infection. And so that was, she started her book really as an article and then got into all this and then realized that there is this sort of underserved population, which, by the way, is why we have the Northeast Delta Dental Foundation, because in addition to doing some major things like, you know, the start of the UNE Dental School and some major scholarship dollars for Tufts graduating students, hopefully that, you know, they'll be practicing in New Hampshire, is that we fund a lot of clinics, and we do teledentistry. We bring teledentistry to the Boys and Girls Clubs for the young people there that have never seen a dentist. So there is still, despite the fact that our oral health metrics in New Hampshire are very good, there is still this sort of underserved population. Part of that, Joe, too, is that adults on Medicaid, there's no dental benefit at the moment, correct?
Correct. In our state, there is they have an emergency benefit, but no comprehensive care. And the issue on top of that is actually just being able to access to get the care, which was the issue in Diamante Driver's situation. He actually had Medicaid benefits, but couldn't find a dentist to take care of him. And over a period of months, his abscess became worse and worse, and it traveled into his brain and became a brain infection from which he died from. And there are, you know, we talked a little bit before about the connections between oral health and overall health relative to chronic conditions, but there are some life-threatening conditions as well when your oral health gets out of whack, mostly with infections in your mouth. You can get, like Diamante Driver, you can have the infection travel to other parts of your body, like the brain, which becomes a very difficult place to treat the infection. Or the other thing that happens is you get these sublingual or in your throat kind of infections that travel into that space and can cut off your airway. So people have died from asphyxiation from a dental infection. So there are a number of things to be really careful about, and it's important that people have not only some sort of benefit for the care, but the ability to get the care somewhere.
So there was a mouthful in all that Joe just said, no pun intended. One, on the Medicaid, there is of course a children's benefit in New Hampshire, but of course there's always the access issue, and the Medicaid rates are relatively low, so making sure that even if I have the benefit, you know, having a dentist that would see you, and there are many, many kind and dentists out there that are very have a big heart, and they try to deal with as many patients as they can, but nevertheless, there can be an access issue. And then along with other stakeholders, including the New Hampshire Dental Society and the Oral Health Coalition, we are working with the legislature on a work group so we can establish an adult benefit, dental benefit for adults. So that's the first step, and then having a reasonable reimbursement so we'd have then the dentist to see these adults.
Correct.
I think I would say this in my sort of 25 years in New Hampshire. I think now, because of studies like the Wakely study, people now understand that the government can actually save some money on medical conditions if people on Medicaid get to see a dentist. So I think the knowledge is out there now. Now we just have to really, you know, implement a plan design that is fair, that the state can afford, and allows the access. So well stated, Joe, as usual. So let's switch gears a little bit and sort of do a lightning round. You practice dentistry, you ran a dental service operation, you're in the field now. So I go into my local drugstore supermarket, and there's a panoramic supply of toothpaste. So what should I be looking for in a toothpaste?
Well, if you have sensitive teeth, a sensitive toothpaste, but in general, just fluoride in the toothpaste is a really huge benefit. Fluoride's been demonstrated over the years to prevent decay or caries, tooth decay, and is a really important component to have in your toothpaste.
So look for fluoride, and it is the one thing that all reasonable scientists, insurance companies, physicians, and dentists all agree is a good thing. How about brushing? Manual toothbrush or electric toothbrush?
Well, what I always tell people is whatever gets you to brush your teeth at least 2 minutes, two or three times a day at least. And, you know, obviously people would have arthritis and other conditions, mechanical or electric toothbrush is much better. But you can do a very good job with just a regular, the old-fashioned toothbrush. I would tell you it's also important to buy brushes with soft bristles.
Good point.
Because medium and hard bristles are great if you want to clean the chrome on your old car or something like that, but not for your teeth. They'll actually cause the sensitive teeth that we talked about earlier.
I like this. So you've come full circle. We started with sensitive teeth. We ended with sensitive teeth. And I want to be sensitive to my producer, so we're ending on time. Thank you, Dr. Joe, for joining me this week. And as always, we could do three shows once you and I get going. So for my running friends again, I hope to see you at the Snowflake Shuffle at around 9 o'clock on Sunday, January 12th.